Hello, I am Nick Horgan, and I'm extremely excited to be here today with truly four of the biggest names in hospitality. So two of the greatest podcasts in the hospitality industry and even beyond that are The Modern Hotelier and The Virtual GM. Oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on. I would never. Hi. Yeah. Oh, hey, Glenn. Oh, no. All right, fine. Okay. I'd also like to say that No Vacancy is also a very popular podcast that people in the hospitality listen to as well. So just that a little shout out to our friends there, but really the people we're excited to be with today who have actually had me on their podcast before are The Modern Hotelier and The Virtual GM. So this is the Podcast Mania combined event where we really are going to bring in four of the biggest names in hospitality. So let's get to know each of them a little better. Let's start with the person who's a little hard to recognize right now because he used to have hair that was considerably longer than this. But Steve, if you could just go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, my name is Steve Caron. I'm the co-host and head writer of The Modern Hotelier. A little bit about me. Grew up in Wisconsin, lived in DC for 8 years. Now I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Thank you, Steve. And now let's go to the other half of The Modern Hotelier, David Malilli. I had always thought you were the head writer of The Modern Hotelier, but looks like Steve dropped the gauntlet. So let's hear from the head writer? Not head writer from The Modern Hotelier, David Malilli.
I would be host and executive producer, a Philly guy who spent a lot of years in New York, who's now out in the desert in Phoenix, and happy to be here and excited that baseball's going and football is getting closer every day.
I love that. And now our friends from the Virtual GM, Cody, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Cody Aiden. I am the president and CFO of Vibrant Management, and we are just trying to press record and grow with video here at the Virtual GM podcast.
I love that. And now Spencer, the man with the star behind his name that did it right from the early days. Let's hear a little from you.
Yeah, my name's Spencer Halford. Easy to find on LinkedIn. Only person besides Nick with a star in the name. VP of sales for Vibrant Management and also the CEW, Chief Executive Writer of the Virtual GM podcast.
I love that. Hearing these writing credits really is great. And
shout out Sean Campbell.
And this is a chance. This is a little different than what you'll typically see. So each of the four gentlemen that you're seeing here with me, they're all phenomenal hosts and they have a lot of fun putting people in the hot seat. This is a chance right now for them to be in the hot seat. So a little background on what I did for each of you to get ready for this. I actually hired a team of private investigators. So they went through your backgrounds. And so we're going to be bringing up some things that, and what I'll start with is the biggest problem I had with this is I was hoping to find a good deal of dirt on Spencer. And what I came back with is his background is truly stellar. So do we have any Eagle Scouts among us right here? Anyone that is always prepared? Look at that, Spencer. So really.
Here.
And that is something. When I first met Spencer, I was extremely impressed. And like, he just always seemed to be ready. And no matter what was happening, he was prepared. And then all of a sudden, we had to start tying all these knots and setting up. And he just pulled out and started on that. So if you could just, we'll talk a lot more about hospitality, but Spencer, if you could just start with that, because that really is impressive and something that takes a huge amount of commitment to see through from the beginning. So I'd love to just hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. Scouting was a big part of my childhood. I did an Eagle Scout project that helped save an endangered species of birds in the northern Utah area around a big reservoir called Strawberry Reservoir. And it really just gave me a lot of perspective. I love scouting so much that I ended up working for a Boy Scout camp 3 years after getting my Eagle Scout and was able to help other people along their journey to becoming an Eagle Scout and whatever their ambitions were after in scouting or in life. But really loved it and it set me up for a really awesome prepared life. In fact, I don't think I've talked about scouting for almost a couple of years now. So that's you did a good job digging, Nick. I haven't whipped that one out in a long time.
You know what? That's what I like to do. Come up with those interesting facts. And thinking of that and interesting facts, If you meet Cody, you'll find he has just an unbelievable personality, extremely bubbly, exactly like most of the other CFOs and accountants that you meet. You know, the personality just seems to be such a good fit. So that's what I like to look at with you, Cody. Your background really is interesting too when I look at your journey and how you wound up in hospitality. So I'd really love to hear just a little more about that, how you go from crunching numbers to crunching hotel rooms and crushing it here in hospitality.
Yeah, you know, we're super lucky here in Southern Utah that we've got such a beautiful landscape and this amazing ecosystem that Zion National Park provides. And so when I was living in Houston, running my marketing company, and we worked with professional sporting teams like the Houston Astros. And as my wife got pregnant with our second kid, we knew it was time to move back home. And so she had moved earlier so she could, you know, go see her doctor and have our second child here in St. George. And so I had a contract I had to finish with the Astros. And so I would fly back and forth in between Astros homestands. And I was out to breakfast with one of my best friends, Breck Dockstader, and talking about, you know, what I was going to be doing over the next 6 months, and said, you know, I'm here if you got anything you need help with. And they had this awesome website that his dad was such a visionary to purchase called ZionNationalPark.com. And so they had this listing website to create awareness for all the properties there in Springdale, to create longer lengths of stay, let people know there was so much more to do than just visit the park. But they didn't have any businesses that were participating in that. And so, being that I had such an extensive background in sales, he asked me to go around all the hotels and restaurants and activity locations and retail and get them to advertise on ZionNationalPark.com. And that's really what got me started in hospitality, was just going door to door to all the businesses in Springdale. And then we ended up needing an office for that. And I had started a financial practice and had an office there in that shared space. And he actually overheard me talking to my wife about our personal budget, and she had gone over budget by $5, and she was receiving a reprimand. And he realized, like, man, Cody manages his personal finances better than we manage our hotel. And so he asked me to be their CFO of the Cliff Rose, which is one of the most amazing hotel properties in the world. And so I started that, and then we went through the journey of becoming a part of the Curio Collection. And that's where we realized, because we were so novice at that time, we didn't even realize we needed a management company and had to have one in order to continue to retain the management of that property. And that's how Vibrant was born. And that's really the story of how it all started.
I love that backstories. And speaking of backstories, David Malilly, you have spent certainly a little bit of time in hospitality. And you know what? I was just going back and catching some earlier episodes with our friend Anthony Melchiori, and I think I saw one of the Modern Hotelier hosts in one of those episodes. So maybe if you could tell us a little bit about that, but more importantly, how your journey into hospitality started, just because I know you have had such an impressive background. So I'd love to hear more about really how you got into it.
Yeah, it's always easy when you're an old guy having an impressive background because you've been around a long time. So the fact that you survived. So real quick, you know, first job in Pittsburgh as a union busboy at the downtown Hyatt. Hotel bug bit me, went to school for hospitality, finished, went to New York, wanted to work in independent hotels, just thought that that was the way to go, to move up quickly. Then the internet happened and I got the opportunity to join an internet startup, which led to me then leaving and starting my own first company and on and on. And I won't go into all that. It's all on LinkedIn. But Anthony's a dear friend. We both worked. He worked for the Lucerne. I worked at the Belvedere in the late 90s. And he was just one of those guys who networked. He had a movie made about his mother where Alyssa Milano, whatever, played. James Caan was in the movie. It's a Lifetime movie. Real tearjerker. So he got this idea about doing Hotel Impossible. And the pilot, they threw the kitchen sink, everything. There was team building exercises, and my team at Open Hospitality built a website for them, for the I think it was a Montauk resort. And so I was on camera with Anthony, and the funny thing that he posted on LinkedIn was he wasn't in the room, and they're wiring me up, and they put the mic in my tie, because back then people wore ties. and he comes into the scene, and he goes, "We're in Montauk. You can't be wearing a tie." And he starts grabbing my tie, and I'm like frozen, because I'm like, I'm going to ruin his show because he's now ripping the mic out. So yeah, his show and his journey with that is pretty incredible. Now he has all stars with the American Hotel and Lodging Association. So it is true, though. He makes fun of it, but I was right there. I was that close to actually taking over for him, because that scene was so well, but I was just too busy. I turned it down. So I let him just run with it.
I love that. That's a great backstory. And now going over to you, Steve. So the first thing I noticed about you when I first met you really was how deep your knowledge of hospitality is and how well you understand it and coming together. That, and I still truly can barely notice you, sorry, not notice, that's not the right way to put it, recognize is the word I'm looking for, just because you did have the trademark long hair and now you've shifted away from that. So I'll get used to it. And then I see that we also had the exact same bricklayer set up to create our studio with the exact right look and feel. So I'm happy that that happened too. So Steve, if you could just give us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just feel bad for David. Talk about being could have been the host of Hotel Impossible, and now he's stuck with me on a podcast. Like, yeah, how the mighty have fallen. I'm sorry. Yeah, a little bit about me. I actually got into hospitality on the advertising side, where I was working with different vendors to get in front of hotels. Always been passionate about the technology side. Always been passionate about technology in general. So I ended up looking at the top technology hospitality companies in Washington, D.C., where I was living, and came across Stay In Touch. And that is where I fell in love with not only the hospitality industry, but the independent side of hotels and also the technology behind them. So I worked at Stay In Touch for a few years and had the opportunity to run the U.S. side of an upcoming startup at the time called Stay Flexi. And that's where I met David, where we decided to put the podcast together to really recognize folks in the industry that we see on LinkedIn, but might not know who they are as a person. So that's kind of got the podcast started there. And since then, I've worked at a few exciting startups, but now we're focusing on the podcast and having a great time with it.
Yeah, I love that. And I really have enjoyed listening and watching The Modern Hotelier and the take that you have on that. So I really did enjoy that. So thank you for a little bit on starting. So with that, when you started the podcast, did you have goals for what you wanted to grow it to? Or is it something that you're like, hey, this would be cool, let's check it out? I'd just love to hear a little bit more about getting
into it. I don't think David and I knew what we were getting into. I think we were in Phoenix, Arizona, and David, feel free to elaborate on this. And we had some ideas. And I think David brought up, oh, we should do a podcast. And at that time, it was just to build awareness for, shout out Stay Flexi, who we both were working with. But then it just took on a life of its own. And I think after that first year, we really saw the potential that it could have. And not only that, but I think David and I were having so much fun doing it. We have just had a blast doing this and not only getting to know each other better, but you know, the rapport on camera has gotten better. And we have just really enjoyed getting to know different folks in the industry and, you know, really understanding them, getting to know them, understanding what makes them tick and being able to promote them in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, I love that. That really is great. Now I'm going to kick over to the virtual GM guys. And I am so intrigued by what you've done, both with your podcast and the virtual GM concept, which I'd love to spend a little bit of time really hearing more about what you're doing with the virtual GM and really how the two of you got together. So we first met at a BITAC event. And I know many of you listening have been to BITAC events. And it really is such a great connection point. And I just was so impressed with both Cody and Spencer and really the energy and personality they were bringing. And then I started listening to the virtual GM and learning more about what you're doing. So I'd love to hear from both of you on that. If you could just tell a little more about the story.
Yeah, well, I can talk about the podcast and then Cody's really the brainchild behind the service virtual GM. So I can let him talk about that. But I joined Vibrant Management almost by accident. I was looking for a career change and had been working with Cody and Breck in a partnership. I was facilitating their website development, kind of like Steve got his start in hospitality technology. That's really where I really got my foot in the door on a couple websites and reached out to Cody and Breck and told them I was looking for a career change and really kind of was more doing a courtesy of saying I'm going to be leaving the company I was at because I was their point of contact. And they were like, well, don't do that. You should just come work for us. I was like, well, that sounds great. And same day decision, decided to do it. And it was the best decision I ever made. We got started with a tool called Entrepreneurial Operating Systems, which was really getting us all aligned and moving forward. And I was the VP of sales and marketing. And we really didn't have any outside marketing for Vibrant Management. Sometimes we'd sponsor a golf tournament, or Breck is the vice president of UTIA, or was the VP of UTIA at the time. He's the president of UTIA now, which is the Utah Tourism Industry Association. And so we would make connections based off of referrals. And I remember Googling video conferences because I had ran a podcast before and decided that would be a really good way to advertise, is just to really kind of a play on a pun Cody and I always say, but to grow with video. And I found one in Vegas that was happening in a month, and Gary Vaynerchuk was going to be speaking. And so I went into Cody's office and was like, "Hey, I want to go to this video conference." And he's like, "No." I was like, "Well, Gary V will be there." And he's like, "Let me think about it." And I was like, "Well, what's going to change if you think about it between today and tomorrow?" And he's like, "Nothing. Let's go." So, I probably told that poorly. But anyways, we go to this video conference and completely changed our lives and our business. Shout out Sean Cannell for putting that on. We're actually going here in a
couple weeks.
Yeah, to his conference again. And we're really excited about it. But on the way home, Cody and I were like, "We should do this. Let's podcast." And so we would get his cell phone. And if you go on YouTube, you can see, like, we would set up our cell phone in various places.
Every corner of my house.
Of his house. And just like, we would like write down, like, "Let's do 5 tips on this," or 3 ways to," or Q2 ideas, you know, things like that. And we just go. But I think what made it unique was we're so the group that goes on these side tangents and we tell the fun stories. And so really, kind of like David said, we had no idea what we were getting into. And it's just turned into this really fun opportunity for us that we're just lucky to be part of.
That is awesome. And I love the backstory on that. So Cody, if you could now just spend a little bit of time talking about virtual GM, because I love, especially if you can talk a little bit about how the fit it is for working moms and that side of it. I just would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so we started the program called Virtual GM for a property we've been managing now for 4 years called The Dwellings in Laverkan, Utah. And that ownership group is like in the process of, they're going to hire a manager. It's a 17-room property on the edge of a cliff, really cool. And they're going to hire like a manager and give them one of the units to live in. And I was like, "Well, what are you gonna pay that manager?" And she's like, "Oh, it's gonna be, you know, probably $60,000 4 years ago, pre-inflation." And so they're like, $60,000, and we'll let them live there. I was like, "Well, gosh, then you're losing your revenue on the unit, plus you're paying this person, and you need another person because they're not gonna work 7 days a week." And I thought about it. I was like, "I think there's a solution here that we could do, because it's already set up to have the self-entry with the locks and everything." And I'm like, "What if you just let us run it virtually?" And that's really where the moniker Virtual GM came in. And so what we found is that there's these amazing moms, stay-at-home moms, who have this incredible ability to connect with individuals and an incredible work ethic. But because of their children, they don't have the ability to go and be at some place for 8 hours a day. But they are available through most of the day. And so we have this incredible team of stay-at-home moms that run our properties. And if you're a guest, you would never even necessarily know, because we utilize all these different technology pieces to make it very seamless. But if you were to call that same property today, The Dwellings, my wife would answer the phone, and she's one of our virtual GMs, and you would never know that she wasn't, you know, exactly a part of The Dwellings, or that she's not there until she informs you. And so they may be taking a reservation in the pickup line at school, or even like last night on the way to my son's soccer game, she got a call and had to move a guest, and they're able to do it all from their phones. And so it's really amazing, because there's a huge savings for the property, as well as creating this incredible opportunity for all of these women to join the workforce. Like, we just had a conversation with a property in Bend, Oregon. I won't mention them yet because we haven't solidified an agreement, but they had talked to another management company and they had kind of told them what they needed. And I told him how we would do it. And he said, "Wow, that saves us about 66% in labor costs by utilizing Virtual GM versus going with the platform that this other management company had advised." And so, amazing opportunity for the right properties that can use it. And of course, it creates this amazing chance for these stay-at-home moms to be able to be a part of the workforce and do something really special and fun.
That really is great. And I love that perspective and the support behind it. So speaking of support behind it, David, let's talk a little bit about pickleball with you just as we go into this. I understand that you had some friends with a pretty big pickleball game where you were the champion. And then you had a shot at defending the title. And I just would love to hear, what's your thought on people bringing their own balls to a pickleball game?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. My partner and I, we made it to the semifinals. I was kind of pissing off some people because I was basically saying, if you bring your own paddle, you can't lose to somebody who picks up a house paddle. Like, you just can't do it. So what we were doing is getting ready to play, and we got the couple that was professional gear, professional bags, their own paddles, and we had been playing with these yellow balls. And all of a sudden, I had it, and I said, oh, she goes, no, the woman, she goes, we're going to serve first, and we're going to use this ball. And she takes out like a color, doesn't matter, but it was like a neon green ball. Here I found out later that she had an outdoor ball, and the host were using indoor balls. So they killed us. It was like a five. We changed the rules. It was 5 set. So I had to make sure I went around and told everybody, look out, look out for these guys. They're mixing in their own balls and blah, blah, blah. So it was very disappointing. And I've already filed an official complaint with the United States of America Pickleball Association. That's pending. So I can't really disclose any more information until we actually go to court.
Here's what I really did like about with the personality type, because I am truly those who have been at BITAC with me and seen.
Oh, yeah. Nick would throw a shit fit if someone changed a bocce ball in the middle of a battle. Oh,
yeah. However, I will also say, I do have to ask this question in defense of people who play, was the game indoor or outdoor?
It was outdoor.
Well, all right. And they brought an outdoor ball. So I'm going to have to say that I don't know if you're going to be able to say, but if you start the tournament with one ball, I do think you maybe need to stick with that. So,
yeah,
so
the balls.
I don't know if you want me as the expert witness or not, but.
Well, and again, they were participants. If the host said, hey, my mistake, I pulled out the wrong balls. Now I'm putting in the outdoor balls. That's great. But when you go from an indoor, the first time you hit that outdoor ball, it just takes off. And anyway, so like I said, I can't speak too much about the case that's pending, so we'll see what the outcome is. I'll do a LinkedIn post once we clear the air, but
I think all of the guests are really going to want to know that and see exactly what's happening, and that's the part where I think let's shift back to hospitality. So I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes, not really, whoever's first, you'll have about 10 seconds. Think about the best hotel you've ever stayed in, and then I'd like you to talk about that, and the main reason for that is because I'd like you to upset the other 64,998 other hotels that you don't highlight about that. But just thinking about the ones you stayed, and virtual GM guys, it does not have to be a hotel where you are a virtual GM for it. So I just love hearing hospitality stories, and it can be a great stay that you had because of the service level, the experience, who you're with. But I just would love to hear a little on that. So if we could start with you, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, this is so easy for me. I had a chance to go to London earlier this year and turned it into a little leisure travel for that hot topic trend to talk about. But yeah, you got to stay at the Stafford London, and requested a couple folks on LinkedIn from that property. And it is, for those that haven't been, it's a 5-star property right by Buckingham Palace. Absolutely incredible. I walked in, they took my bags, sat me down on a chair with my wife, and had a concierge was there and the front desk. And the lady at the front desk, she looks at me, she's checking us in, and she's like, I have to go in the back room. I'll be back in a minute. Comes out, and they're like, hey, we've upgraded your room to a suite. And I'm like, well, this is absolutely incredible. I'm excited. So then the front desk person walked me and my wife to our suite, and we opened up the door, and it was an apartment. It had one bedroom, two bath, a whole living room area. And I tell you, these guys went above and beyond at the Stafford. I got to give a shout out to Tom Morgan here, one of the concierges there. I walked in and they had the Modern Hotelier logo on a plate drizzled out in chocolate. And then they had chocolates all along the bottom of it. And they also had a fresh bottle of champagne right next to it. It was the best guest experience I've ever had in my life. And not only was the room gorgeous, they had a restaurant, a bar as well. And after dinner, my wife and I went to the bar and met the bartender, who is just absolutely phenomenal. Even let us come behind the bar, make a few drinks. We took a few pictures with him as well. But I mean, it was the most unbelievable experience in a hotel I've ever had. Not only was the guest experience phenomenal, but the facilities, the hotel, the restaurants, the bars were absolutely incredible. So if you're ever in London, go to the Stafford London and reach out to my guy, Tom Morgan. He is awesome and will set you up well.
That is awesome. See, it pays to be a celebrity host of the Modern Hotelier right there, Steve, doesn't
it? I don't know if I'd say a celebrity host, but thank you.
Spencer, how about you?
Oh, man. I was really hoping you'd come last to me. I've
That's why I came to you next. This is the hot seat.
Well, all of the properties that we manage are amazing.
Oh, no, come on. All right. Yeah, they're all fantastic and great on that. And then Oregon really is so good. Yeah.
One thing Eagle Scouts learn to do well is politic. So I'm going to give credit to all of those properties. The one that comes to mind immediately is the Waldorf in Scottsdale. And a lot of it is the property, but a lot of it is also the memories. That my very first time was part of EOS with Cody and Breck. Yeah. And I had just barely met my girlfriend, and we all went down and we had just the funnest trip. It was so fun. And before that, what was the property we stayed at before that?
That was the Boulders, which used to be a Waldorf, now it's a Curio. Yeah. So also just, amazing.
We had just left the Boulders, which was phenomenal. And I think that trip made that my favorite property. The staff was amazing. My girlfriend eats vegan. I eat vegan now, but at the time she ate vegan, and they had made this amazing like fruit and hummus and veggie platter. They had brought in this bottle of champagne. They would call me just to check in and see if I wanted anything more. The food was absolutely amazing. The property was so perfect. That's the one that comes to mind first. Funny enough, I was going to say Crockford's in Vegas too.
Yeah.
I love that property so much. We stayed there overnight probably a month or so ago, and they upgraded us to a one-room suite. And they didn't put a Modern Hotelier virtual GM in chocolate for me.
It's like they didn't even know who you were.
You know what? You know who else didn't know? Is the hospitality show.
Yeah.
That was a ripoff. But anyways, we went there and stayed in a one-room suite. We got an upgrade. Shout out Hilton Aspire card. Yeah. Even though we work in independent hospitality, I love that card. Yeah. Check my show notes for my link.
To get a bonus.
140,000 bonus miles I get to cover for bonus points. Anyways, I love that property too. It's quiet, it's clean, it's reserved, it has its own casino. The bar staff is amazing, and you can get the same price drinks in that bar, but it's clean and quiet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That place, yeah.
That is really cool. Now, David, I think you've stayed in one or two hotels in your storied career, so let's hear a little bit about your favorite.
No champagne, no cookies or anything. But when I was CEO of Pegasus, there was a Hilton that was connected to our office. So I spent, every time I came in, I stayed at that Hilton. So I'm like, oh, I have all these Hilton miles. My wife and I decided to take our first vacation without the kids. And we went to Puerto Rico. And, you know, we picked the nicest Hilton. And we get there. And they're like, your room's not ready. You can go sit by the pool. So we go sit by the pool. And the pool's empty. There's no water in the pool. And in the background, there's like a jackhammer going. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And so the waitress, you know, my wife is from Dominican Republic. She speaks Spanish. And my wife's like, I don't know what's going on, but they're going to be doing construction all week here. I said, what? Says, all right, we go in, get our room, get up into the room. Not that great. And I'm a very quick decision maker. So I get on my phone. I'm like, we're checking out. We're going to the Ritz-Carlton. So we went to the Ritz-Carlton, and again, my wife speaks Spanish. I'm like, just be super nice, like super nice. So we got a big upgrade, ocean view, big room. And then the kicker was, after all that greatness, my wife and I were sitting at the pool bar, and I said, Pegasus is sold. I've quit my job. So I'm going to be home a lot more now. And she just looked at me like, you just ruined this vacation, you asshole. So anyway, so that was it. So it was the greatest, that was a great vacation. The staff, you know, again, it all goes back to being an ex-GM. It all goes back to, no matter how great the food is, how great everything is, you know, if you can, I'd rather mediocre or a little above average and great service than best food of my life, and that waiter was a jerk, or, you know, the front desk didn't treat me right. So
I love it. And you do like the finer things, such as water in the pool without the jackhammers. just the little things like that seem to make a difference.
Very, very, very particular. Like, I like sheets on my bed, you know, things like that. Working air conditioning, water in the pool, like you said, those are the. I'm very tough when it comes to that stuff.
All right. So, and Cody, we're going to put another rule on you, so you can't bring up the same one. You have to have a trip that you didn't take with Spencer. So it seems like you guys are somewhat inseparable. So this is going to be, could be with friends, Cody's family, but you know what? Your co-host could not have been there for this specific experience.
I'm going to guess.
Okay, yeah.
And unless I get a piece, if you're going to do any kind of shout outs for any credit card companies or anything else, like, oh, this cool, refreshing drink that happens to be like that, feel free to do that. But all proceeds are shared other than your own. You're able to do own shout outs.
It's one of two. It's either where you went for your birthday when you took that whole group of friends and you had that rooftop pool.
Yeah.
Or it's the Waldorf you went to right on the ocean. We drove through that mountain.
That's the one.
Yep.
Boom. And so my
actually, Spencer, if you want, you can actually work Cody like a puppet right here. And you can just like pull him on your knee. And
So my story is actually kind of similar to David's. We had planned this Mexico trip, my wife and I, no kids. For my birthday anniversary, our anniversary and my birthday is only 13 days apart. And we were going to a Hilton in Cabo that we'd never been to before. And I'm messaging, we're all exactly the same. So if you're listening to this, this is how you get upgrades, you ask. So I'm like messaging the hotel that day, like, what kind of upgrade can you get me? And they're like, we can't. And I was like, well, you can, you know, because like you have them. And it's like, we're going back and forth. And then they try and sell it to me. And so I do the math. I'm like, ma'am, it would have been cheaper for me to just book that suite than the room I got and the upcharge you're trying to sell me. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm a Diamond member. What are we doing? Like, just let me have the room. And they're like, no. And so I also canceled my booking that day. And I got on to Hilton's website and the Waldorf Pedregal, which is like one of the top, maybe a top 10 hotel in the world, happened to have like an affordable rate because it was like the same day. And I was like, holy shit. And so I booked it really quick and told my wife, like, you're never going to believe where we're going. It's a property that outside of like that one unique scenario where everything fell apart the day before we left, that we were able to get to book this property. And I mean, when you get there, they pick you up at the airport, you drive through a mountain to get to it. And you're on the other side of the ocean in Cabo. And again, to really the sentiment that everyone had shared, it's all about the people. I mean, they were so incredible. They knew that we were there to celebrate my birthday and anniversary. They repeatedly did like unexpected delights, like a special French toast at breakfast or champagne in the room or just all of these amazing, unique amenities or excursions that they offered us. I mean, they were just so amazing. And any Waldorf property, really, they do such a good job of that. But I'll say the thing that stood out the most is we were on the beach one day. And then, you know, they have like those planes that have the things behind them. And so this plane's flying over the ocean and it says, Waldorf Astoria welcomes Virtual GM Podcast to celebrate his birthday. And I was like, wow. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen.
That would have been great.
I'm so jealous that Steve said that. So I was like, how can I one up this guy? That's not real. That second part never happened.
That's funny you said that because actually Aria did put me on the marquee, like welcoming me to that. They didn't they did it virtually and then they sent it over and it really did make a difference. And that I love that story, Cody. And I actually have to throw a shout out to someone who I know is going to be one of the sponsors of the Modern Hotelier coming up. The scenario you just talked about is the ability to upgrade your room. You canceled that booking and did another one because they weren't willing to upgrade. So I believe Paul Rantilla is from Plus Grade is going to be a guest relatively soon. Hopefully I'm not stealing anyone's thunder with that. And their concept is exactly what you just described. So that's where I love the industry and the space and creative solutions. And who doesn't love an upgrade? So I think if we talk about Plus Grade, though, we do need to hit Paul up for some sponsorship dollars as part of this. So, Paul, feel free for that to have that part of it, but it really is something
that's spread out across to everyone just to make sure
that's right. And well, you know what? We can be talked about on the virtual GM as well as part of it, you know.
But in all seriousness, like for the people listening, you know, to the audience, it's like if you're a hotelier and you have the ability to do it and it's day of, like do that thing, do that unexpected delight because you're not sacrificing anything. It's not costing you any additional besides maybe a little longer housekeeping if it's a bigger room, but do that for the guests because that's what they're going to remember and that's what keeps bringing them back. And then if you're a patron of hospitality and you're listening, always ask. You have no idea what could happen by just simply asking. I've gotten some of the most incredible, I've never booked a suite ever, but I've stayed in them plenty. And it's because I've always asked. And sometimes you get a room that you're like, I got no business being in this room.
This is the wrong room.
You know what I mean? So just if you're listening and you're going to a property, always, always, always ask. And join their programs, whether it's Hilton or Marriott or a Stash. Join the programs, get your status, and then they're always going to be, they should, not always, because of course of the story I just shared, but oftentimes they will do what they can to help you out. Just ask.
another little trick is not necessarily just hospitality, but when you don't want dessert, but you want dessert, you just basically say like, hey, I really, this is too much, but do you guys have like a little cookie or something I could get? So I was batting like 1,000 for, I had like with when I was traveling, because they'll bring you out. They'll bring you out a cookie for free. They'll bring you out cake. He's like, I really don't want dessert. I'm just, but I'd like a little something sweet. Could I get a cookie or something? You have like, and it trust me, it works. Like, and people are like, how is he doing this? Because I'd be with the same like people from work, and they're like, this is like the 12th time we've gone out this year, and like every time he gets free dessert. So there's a little trick for you.
I actually used to, every time I flew, I would fly first class, literally almost every time. And this was before like with the loyalty programs and everything else. It used to be those seats would sit empty a lot. And then I would literally just walk up to there were two different ways you could do it. The gate agent, you figure out who's in charge and just say, you know what, I'm excited about this. How's your day? Talk to him for a minute. And then I would just ask, say, you know what, if that seat's going to be emptied, I'd love to be in it. And then I also found out once the door is, so who's in control was the gate agent. And then as soon as the door was shut, it shifts to whoever's in charge of the flight crew. So I would ask that person and it was crazy how much it worked. And then the airlines got smart about the way they did upgrades and everything else, and it became truly impossible. So maybe I don't want Paul Rintel to be quite as successful on the upgrades on that side of it where the hotels are monetizing it, because it is an area where there is a lot of flexibility with the front desk and what they can do. So the goal of today really was bringing great people together. And that's the part where I really do want to highlight the four of you, because you are four people that make our industry better. You do it with the way you are, what you bring to the industry and everything else. So I am so appreciative of all four of you. And I know that sounds like a wrap. It's not the actual wrap. We still have a few more minutes. I know people who are super important, like Cody, have that hard stop at 11. So I want to make sure he keeps looking at that and is watch. And that, it looks like, Cody, you're drinking from a Stanley, but not the one you won in the meme contest. So I do That's find true. That as like a missed opportunity right there.
You're right. I should have thought of that. And I actually walked out of my office with your Stanley in my hand and I was like, oh, oops. And I went and put it back on my desk because I have to have water everywhere I go. So your Stanley has been upgraded to my office desk Stanley. And then this is my podcast Stanley.
Perfect. Okay. So as long as it's going to good use. And we'll also do a shout out to Marcy Albert, who was the true winner of the contest. That in this, just a little background on people on LinkedIn. I was trying to bring some joy to people. So we did a meme contest and Marcy Albert got the most comments, but she's like, I don't want a freaking Stanley. Cody definitely wanted the Stanley. And I will say he took the time to try and like build up the comments and demands on that. He did it after the deadline for the contest had completed. So he got that and it shows like social media can work. But with that, the ability to track your wife down to every $5 she's spending going over, like you've got that down. But
that's why I need a blue Stanley. There's no room in my budget to buy one for myself.
Funny story. One time we have a team group text and Cody took a video of his house with all the Stanley mugs in it. Oh, I think Megan had just bought like maybe one more.
She bought a new one. I said, why did you buy that? She goes, well, this keeps things hot. And I said, oh, different than all of these things that keep things hot?
There was like, I don't remember. It was a lot of Stanley.
There's like good 40.
Yeah. My number was 10, but I didn't want to be rude.
That's especially funny, Spencer, because Cody told me that he didn't have a Stanley and he really wanted one. And it's kind of like the upgrade for the hotel rooms and apartments.
That's classic.
I probably used words that implied I didn't have one, but I'm sure that I didn't say I didn't have one.
Nick, it's your fault for not knowing.
It was probably more like I could really use a Stanley. See, that would imply that I don't have one.
You didn't have one for his desk.
I didn't say that I had it.
So just like the private investigator team that I hired to look into all of you before this, you know what? I will be going back through the records and that. So now what I did talk to each of you, your middle school ex-girlfriends, and we have them here. So they're going to be joining us in the next. No, not that. Let's go with David. Something else about the hospitality industry that most people don't know. That's what I'd love to hear from you.
I think what they don't know is it's for people who have never been in hospitality, I don't think they understand how hard it is. and how hard it is to get things right. And that when you open a hotel, you throw away the key. I mean, people would, when I ran hotels and lived on property, they were so like, oh my God, you get to live on property at a hotel in New York City. And it's like, yeah, once I did that, I wanted to get the hell out of doing that because you had no life. So I think people don't realize how hard it is and how many moving pieces. I was very fortunate when I launched my first tech company, having been a GM and dealing with housekeeping and maintenance and front desk and reservations, finance, you know, sales and marketing, it gave me the tools to be able to do that. And so I think a lot of people just think, you know, it's easy and they think everything's connected. Outsiders think, you know, you make a booking here, it's all connected, everything's seamless. And when you look, look behind the covers, it's a pretty interesting field. But yeah, that's the one thing I don't think people realize how hard it really is, whether it be tech or being on property.
Yeah, that is a really good way to think about it. And Steve, how about you? Anything that you could also think of that?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I love about hospitality, and actually Rachel Humphrey brought it up on a recent conversation, is it's an industry. It's not a career. You can do anything you want in hospitality. If you're in sales, you're in marketing, you know, you're in operations, you're in finance. You can find any of those jobs in hospitality. And I think that's one of the most unique things about this industry is, you know, if you love people, if you enjoy talking to people, which all of us obviously do here, we have our podcasts or hosting a podcast. But if you have a love of people, this is such a great industry to be in because that's all it is. It's making people happy. It's making people's day, but you can really do any job you want in this industry. So Rachel Humphrey said that and it just really clicked to me. And it was such a cool statement that I never really thought of before. But yeah, it's such a great industry. And if you love people, check it out.
Yeah, I love that. And Spencer and Cody, since I have learned so far in this, you guys like answering questions together. So I'm going to throw it out to both of you together. Or if Spencer would like to say, tell us what Cody thinks. Like, I like that as far as the kickoff, but so we'll send it to both of you together.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'll go. I think the coolest thing about hospitality, being so new to it and joining it later in my career, it's kind of a similar sentiment to what Steve said, is that there's so much opportunity. But also I think that more so than any other industry, there's scalability for an individual. Like, I feel like so many GMs or presidents or leaders of whatever they're in started at the bottom of whatever that company is, right? Like, so many GMs were housekeepers and then they became front desk and then front desk managers. And you can really work your way through hospitality at a more accelerated rate and with more opportunity, I believe, than any other industry I've ever been a part of. And I think us being on this podcast is an example of that because Steve and David, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys are around like between 50 and 60 episodes, I think. And that's about where we are too. So it's like, you talk about like the impact we're making in hospitality and being thought leaders. But when you zoom out, it's like that only represents a year. So it's like, That's not a long period of time. If you tried to go be a thought leader in another industry, I don't think you could crack that bell in 50 or 60 episodes. But hospitality is so fast moving and there's so many places you can find yourself in it that I think it provides more opportunity than any other industry that exists.
I think you said that extremely well. So let's just, if you want to add anything to that, Spencer?
Nope.
Now, as mentioned, this you really do each host two of the very best podcasts in all of hospitality. So any of you that are not listening to the other ones, so you may be a fan of the Virtual GM, but you haven't yet discovered Modern Hotelier, or you could be a Modern Hotelier listener that hasn't started listening to the Virtual GM, you really are missing out by not learning from all of these and the fantastic guests that you both have on the show. So if you could each just describe how people can find you, so you personally, as well as your podcasts and your companies, that'd be great. We can start with you, Steve.
Yeah, pretty easy to find. Steve Caron on LinkedIn. Otherwise, head over to The Modern Hotelier on LinkedIn. We're pretty engaged there. Otherwise, go to themodernhotelier.com where you can find us.
Perfect. And David, so we know how to find The Modern Hotelier. How would one go about finding you?
Yeah, look me up on LinkedIn. I usually check in on LinkedIn for maybe like 5 minutes a day. That's about it. Not anything longer. No, I'm on there too much. Actually, I actually, you know, probably use it too much. But LinkedIn is really the best place to connect with me.
Perfect. And Spencer.
Yeah, LinkedIn as well. Spencer Halford. I'm the only one with a star. And you can also email me, spencer@thevibrantteam.com.
Thank you. And Cody.
For the podcast, obviously, you can just search Virtual GM. If you want to find me and be bothered with a bunch of videos, you can just Google my name, Cody Adent, CodyAdent, and you'll find me.
Perfect. So thank you all so much for being here as part of this. And I really do appreciate, and even more so, I appreciate all of the fantastic leadership each of you have brought to the industry. And really, I enjoyed this. And thank you so much.
Well, and let's not let this episode end without giving props to Nick, right? He is the ultimate connector in hospitality.
Seriously.
Nick does a better job of anyone I've ever met of lifting you up and introducing you and bringing you into his circle. Everyone needs a Nick in their lives. And I'm sure I can speak for everyone. I say, we just appreciate everything you do, Nick. And thanks for bringing us together and letting us be exposed to the Modern Hotelier audience and exposing them to our audience. It's just such a treat and such a pleasure. And we're so thankful for your friendship.
Nick, you're great, but I have the breaking news. I don't know if you guys know this, but during the podcast, Nick has actually added a second star to his name. So it's, I don't know how he did it because he seemed like he was very engaged with the conversation, but he now has two on his.
Wow.
So it's a really actually, nice. I'm glad you brought this. So the funny story about that. So the star of my name in LinkedIn, that is what I'll say. Spencer is the person, was the inspiration for that. He wouldn't tell me how to do it. So I went through, reached out to the CEO's LinkedIn, everything else. I did it as a joke and messaged him. And then a funny thing happened afterwards. Like while it was there, I realized my response rate went up and like more was actually, I was like, oh, all right. So truly thank you for that part, Spencer, but it's not going away.
Happy to help. Keep it.
Again, thank you all. Really great to be here. And thank you all so much for the kind words too.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Modern Hotelier, you guys. See you
thank
guys.
You. Thank you. You made it to the end of The Modern Hotelier. Thanks for listening. The Modern Hotelier is produced by Make More Media. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you know a guest or sponsor that would be a good fit, feel free to email us at hello@themodernhotelier.com. If you'd like to get some Modern Hotelier merch, click the merch button on modernhotelier.com or click the link below. Thanks and have a great day.